Our focus for the month of August is finding your destiny. Find out what God's called you to do. We want to be right in the middle of the perfect will of God for our lives. I don't know if there is a permissive will of God, like some people talk about, but we don't want to be in plan B, we want to be in plan A. And I think, like we talked about with those devices in the car, that when you get off, the Holy Spirit keeps telling you how to get back to that place where you belong to start with. Recalculating, let's get back to that place that we belong. So last week, Diane did a good job talking about temperaments. And if you didn't have a chance to hear that, you can go online and check out that message, because it's very important. The problem with teaching this, trying to get all these things in 1 month, is there's so much information. And, you know, each one of these can be 4 or 5 or 6 week class in itself, but we're trying to give you an overview. And the idea is that to encourage you, if you know that you are in the right line for your life, and if you're not, to encourage you to find that place. I still think one of the saddest things is a person who all their life works at a job or works at an occupation or follows a pursuit that's not them and hates it. And even if they make good money or whatever, it's a rough way to live when you don't want to get up in the morning. You don't want to trudge off to work. Right. Been down that path. Sometimes we have to do things we don't really like to do for a while, but we should be always moving towards that place that God's called us to. Not only inside the church, but outside the church. Right. Just important. The callings of God and the way that God wants to use us is not just for inside the church, but for wherever we are. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read some of these verses here, starting verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Just reasonable to do that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A whole bunch of messages in that, but I'm going to try not to preach it. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That would be soberly as the idea of with a saved mind, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. If you're, as you're sitting here this morning, don't think you don't have any faith. You have some, praise God. And it's good stuff. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. And that's what we're talking about. We can call the gifts that we're going to talk about this morning functional gifts or motivational gifts that are not necessarily the same. They will flow with our temperaments, but they maybe make us a little different also. Not all members have the same function. So we, being many, are one body and individually members of one another. The Amplified adds, they are mutually dependent on one another. Our gifts are as much for other people as they are for us, maybe more for other people than they are for us. The gift is not just about you, it's about other people. And these are the gifts that we're going to talk about here, we could call grace gifts, in that they're not earned. Praise God. You know, and there's not one that's better than another. It's just a gift from God. It gifts from God. This is the way God made it, just like the temperaments. Verse 6, having then gifts differing, praise God, according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now here's the listing of the 7 gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives in with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Grace gifts that flow with who we are, that came from God. It isn't like you get to go to God and say, well, I want this one, and this one. You already are. Some of these things. And so we need to find out what we are and flow with that. And it eliminates a lot of things. Grace operates better when you're operating in your gifts, obviously. But it also, if you think about it, eliminates judgment, because we are who God made us to be. And we are different. I think Diane mentioned last week, God made us all different, put us together and said, all right, get along. And it's fun sometimes, but it's also necessary that we that we learn to flow together. Because again, it's not just given for me, it's given, my gifts are given for you, your gifts given for me, for us to flow together and be in unity in the body of Christ. They are different than temperaments. There are four temperaments that Diane talked about last week. We were talking about this a long time ago and trying to illustrate the difference. So we came up with this, thinking about it this way. In a sense, think of your temperament as like leather. And you take leather, is the same composite material, but it can be used to make a holster. It could make boots. It could make a purse. It could make a vest. It can make lots of different things. It's still leather, and what is made, the composite of it is going to be the same in whatever area it is, but it gets to be used in different ways. So you can have a person who is a leader temperament, but used in as a server, or used as a leader, or used as a whatever God has in mind for the body of Christ and the world in general. And when we get to understand who we are, flowing with who we are, working together, a lot of good things are going to happen. Praise God. So what I want to do is just as quickly as I can get through some of these. I did make up a set of notes that just have the definitions in it. You guys just have those if you want a set. Give you something to write on. Don't make any paper airplanes and throw them at me. Just, you know, if it'll help you out as we're going through, we made some copies. The first one is prophecy. Notice in verse 6, having the gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. The Greek word prophecy is the same word that's used as a person who's called to be a prophet. It's used in the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12. But it's different in every case. There is a difference in being called to be a prophet and having a functional or motivational gift in prophecy. Most likely a person who's called to be a prophet is going to have that motivational gift, but you can have the most motivational gift and not be called to one of those fivefold ministries. That's one of the things we're going to teach along the way are the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We're also going to teach in those nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, but this is the way that person is motivated. It means the inspired delivery of a mind and counsel of God is a declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means. It is the forth-telling of the will of God, whether with reference to the past, the present, or the future. The key idea is not foretelling, but forth-telling. Key. We think of prophecy a lot of times, and we think it's somebody that just knows what's going to happen in the future. But that's not what this means. It has the idea of knowing what's in its purity, in its strength, knowing what God, how God sees this thing, and being able to see into that and speak into that in certain situations and so on. In the in thinking of it in terms of a descriptive term, think about some of these things. It becomes, and if you think about it, there are people who just are naturally this way. As a person who just sees things right versus wrong. Not gray. This is right and that's wrong. Sees good versus evil. Sees truth versus true versus false. Amen? Just this, and they see that very clearly. A person who's motivated in this direction can see into the true motives of people. Yeah, the gift is manifested an intense desire to correct what is seen to be wrong. Not only being able to see it, but let's get this right. Let's straighten it out. It's a grace gift. It's a gift from God. Some people are gifted this way. We have somewhere we have, what do we call those things? Where they find out what their gifts are? Okay. You should find out exactly where you are, but people who are very high in this, probably one of the things, some of these things are kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, like Diane talked about with the temperaments. You don't see too many people that are high in prophecy or perception and high in mercy at the same time, because they usually don't work together well, although sometimes we marry into that and we make it work. Praise God. Here's some of the characteristics. A person tends to be decisive, no gray areas, right versus wrong, appropriate versus inappropriate. They have the ability to discern the character and motives of people. My wife is very high in this particular one, and I've learned to rely on that somewhat because I'm on the other end of the spectrum, but she can sense a lot of times what's going on. Everything looks pretty good to me on the surface, and I tend to want it to be that way. But she can sense into the there's more going on here than you're seeing. And having been burned a few times, I learned to rely on that. The ability to see, to discern the character and motives of people. They depend on spiritual truth to validate authority. And everything should come back to spiritual truth. Scriptural truth. Okay. There's a difference. They have a concern for the reputation and program of God. In the purity of these motivations, we understand who we're representing. God should come out looking good. He is good. And a person who's motivated this way has a concern for that. In the misuses, they can be viewed as harsh and uncaring. They may lack caution in expressing opinions. Let that sink in a little bit. Their strong desire to convey truth may hinder their willingness to hear another point of view. They may emphasize judging and exposing rather than restoration. And it always comes back to that. It always comes back to restoration. Amen? If there's something between you and someone else, or you're trying to help two people come together, it needs to be about that. Amen? Amen. All right. Next one is ministry. The Greek word is diakonos. It means one who serves almost any work other than the inspired utterance of or miracle working may be involved here. The activity, an activity of practical nature exerted in action, not in word. This is the person who rolls up their sleeves and let's get something done. Let's get busy. In its manifestation, it's a person who is going to render practical service to the needs in the lives of individuals and families and churches and ministries. One thing that I have to keep reminding myself, because I'm very focused in church, but these aren't just church gifts. These are gifts that are made for wherever we are. And what I'm trying to say is, what I'm trying to get across to you is, it's very natural for this person to just roll up their sleeves and get busy. It is an ability to see and meet the practical needs as quickly as possible, and in the church, keeping the mechanics of the ministry going, or the mechanics of the company going, or the family going, or whatever it happens to be. Something needs to be done. I'm going to do it. All right, characteristics. They are independent workers. They can get the job done on their own. It's one of the things to note if you're trying to figure out where people are. Independent workers. They possess an intense desire to say yes to anyone needing help. They enjoy short-range goals, something we can get done today. They are frustrated with time limits on jobs. They don't necessarily work well under pressure. Need something we can do and do it now. Misuses. They may neglect personal and family needs to minister to others. Sometimes, you know, you get a person in the church who has, it's just natural for them to not want to say no. So they're saying yes, and their family needs help, but the church needed something, so they're going to do that. And the church should never be the enemy. Church should be the answer. A lot of times, or sometimes what happens is, not just in the church, but you get a person who just has a difficult time saying no. I've met a couple situations where the guy is very good at mechanics, car mechanics. And so he's the one that you go to, you know. Hey, Joe, having trouble with my car. It's doing this. And so you get him to check it out. And, you know, he could have a line of people waiting for him after church or whatever. Need help here. Well, And they'll keep saying yes until they come to the point where they've had enough, and then they'll just move, just go somewhere else. It's easier for them to just get out of the picture altogether than to try to work up the courage to say no. You understand what I'm saying? So it works for you, but it also works against you if it gets into the misuse of sight. What it really is, it's a lot like temperament. You take something good, but you take it too far, it becomes a problem rather than a help. Sometimes no is the right answer. It's as important as saying yes. They may sidestep existing procedures and those in authority to get the job done quickly. This is a problem we run into in the church sometimes. Somebody say, the so-and-so room needs painting. So you come in a couple of days and find out it's been painted. Well, great, but it isn't the color that we were looking for, but it needed to be done, and there was some paint there, so we got it done. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? They may get upset with others with differing gifts over the lack of eagerness in serving. You see that sometimes at the end of a service, we say, today we're going to take down all the chairs, put them over the side because we've got something going on this week. And so, you're going to see the servers right away. As soon as the service ends, stacking up chairs, getting them over there, probably running over some of the people who are in other gifting places. And a lot of times upset with them afterwards. I did all this work and I got right to it, and they were just talking and doing this. But a lot of times that's just person being who they are, and probably running over them doesn't help an awful lot. They may burn themselves out and leave in their weakness. So if you find out that's who you are, boy, the body of Christ needs servers. The world in general needs servers. But God did not call us to burn out. God didn't say, burn the candle at both ends until you die early. We get wiser than that, all right? The next one is teaching. The Greek word, it's not too deep. It just means to give instruction, motivated to get an understanding of truth, and bring it to others. The center of trust is on the truth itself, not necessarily on the people being taught. Here's what's different about this word teaching. We tend to think of teacher as somebody who sits up front and teaches an audience, or someone who just sits one-on-one and has some information and brings it to somebody else. But in its purest, most simple form, it more has the idea of wanting to get to the bottom, wanting to find out what the truth of something, just researching to get, there's something here and I'm going to find out what it is. When I was a kid, one of the things that I had a little wind-up, or maybe it was a battery operator, I forget now, bulldozer. And what it would do is you'd turn it on and it would go and bump into something, back up and turn a little bit, go and back up with something, hit something and back up and turn. And so I wanted to know, why does it do that? So I took it apart to try to find out. Never did that again, I'll tell you. I'm good at taking things apart, not real good at putting them back together. But it's just this idea of, I like to share what I've learned because I have the teaching gift also, but as a fivefold minister. But a good day for me is to be able to sit at the computer with the Bible software and dig into things and find out what does that word really mean. Word meanings become very important, you may have noticed. I want to know what is the base of this, what does it really mean? So the teaching, this manifests as a prompting to certify truth, to probe, to seek answers to questions, clarify the basis for everything. Searching out of facts until convinced that something is true or the truth. And something that when you have this motivation, it makes a lot of sense to you. And other people look at it and say, you thought it was a great day and you were sitting there with all those books. No. If to somebody that's not motivated in this direction, it's not going to make any sense. Characteristics, they will emphasize accuracy of words. If you've been here very long, you know that's true. They tend to test the knowledge of those who teach them. When you are motivated this way and you hear somebody saying something, you get looks from your wife on the front row. If you hear a word that's a little out of, it's not quite defined the way that you understand to be, you start thinking about that for the rest of the time and then miss a lot of the other message if you don't. Watch. Where am I at here? Oh, lost me. They will present truth in a systematic sequence. You know, I got away from letter A and the numbers. I have bullet points. It used to be, my notes were Roman numerals, and then big letter A, and then regular numbers, and then small letter A, which made sense to me, but they have a greater joy in researching than presenting truth. It's finding out the answer. Misuses. They may become proud of their knowledge, challenging others. Moving right along. These can't be true, can they? Yes. They may give unnecessary details. Who would do that? They may escape into their own private world of books and study. The next one. Exhortation. The Greek word literally means to call to the side. It denotes an appeal, encouragement, consolation, comfort. It is one aiming at the heart and will of others. It's a vocal gift. It goes very well with expressor temperament. It's verbal, relationship oriented, an inner desire to promote acceptance and harmony in the body of Christ. An inner desire to bring a lift to people. It's not just wanting to talk to people. It's wanting to bring practicality to a situation, help them work things out. Excuse me?
Encouragement,
right. Characteristics. They desire a face-to-face involvement with others. Email's not going to do it. They want to visualize specific achievement and give steps of action. If their practicality is not the same as a teacher, because it's just practicality. If you do this and this and this, things will get better. They're good at taking scriptural truth and making it practical to everyday life. They especially enjoy one-on-one meetings rather than teaching a group. Just get somebody off to the side and see if you can help them out. See, these are the ones that get run over by the servers. Misuses. While emphasizing steps of action, they may seem to oversimplify the problem. Like the server, they may get so involved in helping others that they neglect personal and family responsibilities. You know, there's a given thing in society. You go to the home of the carpenter, and that's the house that needs the repair. Go to the home of the plumber. Everything's leaking, and it can be the same way in the gifting, where it manifests everybody else and not helping out at home. I see the elbows out there. I know your wives letting their husbands know. See, where am I? They may lead people into too much dependence on them. We are not here to make disciples of ourselves. We're here to make disciples of Jesus. And it's something to watch when, you know, you want to help people, but when you can see that they're getting to the place of leaning too much on you, and keep steering them back to the Lord. And they may lack patience with the slow progress of others. Move on to somebody else. Are you hearing yourself anywhere here? All right. That was exhortation. Giving. The Greek word means to give a share or to impart. One of the things that we've learned, and we think about it in terms of money, but it's not just money. It's just you have something you're wanting to give to somebody else, just helping somebody else out. The gift manifests in an inner prompting and ability to share oneself, to pour out a life, and or to give a share of what is possessed to the honor of the Lord, to honor the Lord, and to advance his work. And it's supposed to be done with simplicity. Notice that back in the scripture, which means sincerity manifesting itself in liberality. It's simplicity is what it sounds like, and even more. One of the things about some of these gifts and manifestation is we're all supposed to be givers. This is not just, well, that's not something that motivates me. But some people are motivated more in that direction, and really, you know, you can learn something from somebody and their motivation and use it to help you be motivated in the right direction. Characteristics. They have the ability to make wise purchases and investments. One of the things about a giver is they want to have, you know, in order to, if you want to give, you have to have something to give. This one of the saddest things is to want to give and have nothing to give. And so they're gifted by the God to bring stuff in so they have something to give out. They love to give and motivate others to give. Their desire to give comes from the inward leading rather than an outward pressure. It's not that they got their arm twisted and they'll finally give. They just want to give because that's who they are. They have great joy when their gift is an answer to another's need. Want it be that quality of gift where it really meets the need of the other person. And it's not an idea of, I'm going to give because I want people to notice that I'm giving. In fact, they'd rather not be noticed. Misuses. The need to deal with large sums of money may appear to focus on temporary or temporal values. Their desire to give to a ministry may appear as an attempt to control it. And again, you know, you have a strength. You have to watch that the strength doesn't go too far and become a weakness. Because sometimes it does become that. I don't like the way that you're going, so I'm going to hold back on my involvement in helping you out. By not responding to pressure appeals, they may appear to lack generosity. That's not the motive. They don't need to be motivated from the outside. They're motivated from the inside. They may be judgmental towards others who do not respond to needs like they do. And again, you know, we tend to, if we don't watch ourselves, think that everybody else is like us or want everybody else to be like us. So we're motivated that way. And why aren't you motivated that way? If you're a server, why aren't you serving? If you're an exhorter, why aren't you meeting with so-and-so and helping them out? And if we understand the way God's gifted us, it takes out that judgment. There's no sense in judging because we are who we are. Besides, it never helps anybody. And we're all dealing with stuff, so thank God for his grace. And these are grace gifts. All right. Now, leading or administration, as we can call it, those who lead, or some of the translations say rule. The word means to stand before, to lead, to attend to, indicating care and diligence, position of authority, and superintendence. And again, in its simplicity, it's not a person not there because they want to be looked at. This is just, in general, they keep moving to that place of getting things organized. There's some people that you don't have to put them in charge, and they won't, when they're doing it right, they won't knock everybody else out of the way and take that position, but they just are very good at pulling things together and getting things organized. And inner prompting and ability to envision and coordinate the activities of others for the achievement of common goals. Inner urging. They can see how if we get this thing organized, it'll work. We get these people working together, things are going to get done. So here's characteristics. They have the ability to see the overall picture and set long-range goals. Remember who were the short-range goals? Servers? Sometimes you have clashes between people who look at things differently. They have the ability to delegate responsibility to others. It really is a gift when you think about it. They are more task-oriented than people-oriented. See, the exhorter would be more people-oriented. And they feel fulfilled in seeing others come together and complete a task. Misuses. The ability to delegate may appear to be laziness. Probably a server's out there thinking, why don't you do it? In viewing people as resources, they may offend them. The desire to complete tasks may appear to be insensitive to other people's schedule, weariness, and priorities. They may overload willing workers with too much work. Here's this server who can't say no. and the organizer, the administrator, the leader who knows it needs to be done and knows they have the gifting to do it. So with that unwillingness to say no, they get overused sometimes. And then again, the problem becomes they don't finally say no a lot of times. They just quit. They just, I'm not going to do this anymore. All right? With me? Number seven is mercy. Kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum of prophecy. The word means to feel the sympathy with the misery of others, and the key here is manifesting itself in action on their behalf. It's not just feeling bad for people, but it's a desire to do something to help them because of that problem that they're going through. Inner prompting and ability to identify with the joys and distresses of others. There is a prompting to take action and remove hurts, especially emotional hurts, and bring healing to others. See, the server more wants to, there's something physical that needs to be done to help out. They want to get involved in that. Mercy is more somebody's feelings are hurt, or they don't want somebody's feelings to be hurt, so they're motivated to try to either heal that or keep it from happening. Characteristics. They're attracted to people in distress. And on the other side of that, needy people tend to seek them out. Because when you find out somebody is touched with the feelings of your infirmities, then you, next time you're hurting, you're going to want to find somebody like that and go to them. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes if it's taken too far, it's not. More concerned about mental and emotional distress than physical distress. They usually avoid being firm to keep from hurting feelings. And they are sensitive to words and actions that can hurt. So you have a person who can feel those, sense those motivations of people that might be wrong, and another person who's sensing, whatever we do, we don't hurt anybody's feelings, can become judgmental to each other when they don't understand the difference in the callings and the giftings. Misuses. While being sensitive to the feelings of others, they may be led by feelings and not by the Spirit. That's a key. Because sometimes people who are motivated in mercy get in the way. Get out of the way and let God work here, you know. In their desire to help, they may get taken advantage of. They may take up offenses, the offenses of others, when they should leave them to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a problem. And this is a high motivation for me. And at that point where you know you got to just let it to the Lord. And you'd like to get in there and mess with it. I can do it. If I just sit down with them, they'll get it. I've already sat down with them 462 times. But this time. And they can be too easily offended themselves. Because that whole hurt feelings thing, you know. And then when people get to that place, they put up a wall, and then you can't get in. Then you want to help, and you can't, but they've put up a wall. Sometimes it's not just a temporary thing, because, you know, you've met people, and I've met people. They put up a wall, and it's been there for a long time. It's like the Iron Curtain. You're not getting in until somehow the Lord finds a way to get there and heal them. You just step up to people, and you know, this is a good person. I'd like to help, but it's like trying to hug a porcupine. It's just, it ain't going to happen until they pull the wall down and let you in. Amen? Any questions about going over that very quickly? All right, let me give you an illustration that we've used over the years to try to see all these groups functioning together, and then we'll worship the Lord a bit here. Praise God. Here's the situation. We were in the church. The service has ended. And the kids were out to children's ministries, and the doors are open, and the floodgates come, and the kids come running in and tearing all over the place and knocking stuff over, and chaos ensues. And the gifts go into operation. Prophecy said, "This is God's house. Stop that right now. Where are their parents?" Serving goes around after them cleaning up and complains later. teaching, goes to get a Bible and begin an in-depth study on child discipline. Exhortation, completely unaware of what's happening because they're off to the side in deep conversation with a brother or sister in Christ. Do you know any of these people? Giving, planning on how much money they will have to be raised to replace what's been broken and what they're going to give towards it to get it fixed. Administration begins to restore order to the situation. Pete, you grab that kid. Sam, you get the other one. Henry, get a broom and a dustpan, etc. And then mercy. Don't get upset. They're just being kids. Let's not get to be hard, too hard on them. We don't want to hurt the parents' feelings. Amen? Amen. It's worship.